Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
I'm Sheila Shoiga, and welcome to Ready to Be Real Conversations, the podcast series where I chat to people of all walks of life. Some names you'll recognize, others you might not, but my hope is that these conversations will at times inspire, challenge, educate, comfort, or simply entertain you. This episode is the second part of the conversation I had with clinical psychologist, author, and psychology lecturer, Dr. Mally Coyne.
There is a kind of a paradoxical gift in pain, which is like, you know, that comes from the Eastern traditions and, you know, all about the idea that we all suffer and that, you know, the last few months, many of us have suffered and that suffering is part of life and that we can learn from pain as well. We don't, you know, you might have a moment where you just feel horrific, awful. You're like, oh my God, how can this ever get better? And then, you know, even grief, when you feel like when you've lost. And, you know, you kind of, it's just all consuming. And then maybe like, an hour later, a few hours later, or somebody says something nice, or you just do something nice for, or whatever it is. And you feel that shit just a little bit less. You feel that pain just a little bit less. And it's like the light really comes through when you've been feeling such pain that when you feel less of it, the light comes in.
In this podcast, she answers a selection of questions that were sent in on Instagram, and there were many themes that were repeated over and over. Things like grief, uncertainty, loneliness, positivity, and family dynamics. Now, before you listen, please do check the show notes in advance for any trigger warnings you need to be aware of and for any useful information which may be of help to you. Okay, the first question she answered was this one. There is a lot of tension in my family over COVID. I have a parent and a sibling who don't want to see anyone or do anything until there's a vaccine. And another is showing no concern at all over it and think we should just get on with our lives. I'm caught in the middle and I don't know what to do.
That is a real hard one. And I think a lot of us are going through that in different ways. I mean, I've heard about this a lot where, you know, like there might be tensions between family members, tensions between friends, you know, some friends that are okay with, some people are okay with having, you know, having an indoor play date, others are not. And, you know, just all, there's so many different permutations. And then you add on the mixed messaging over the last few months. I mean, I'm not necessarily blaming the government, but we all knew what to do during lockdown. But as we came out of lockdown, that's when, even in June, July, even though the numbers were going down of cases, there was a lot of uncertainty around then. I remember talking about uncertainty then. So I think it's, you know, for this person who's in this situation, I think it's really hard for you that you feel in the middle of this right now. And it's okay for people to have their differing opinions and their different levels of comfort. I think, first of all, I think we need to acknowledge that that's okay. Mm. Some people are really, you know, and rather than judge the other person, but we're all, you know, humans are judgmental and that does happen. But I think for this person, you know, she feels caught in the middle and she doesn't know what to do. I think maybe to kind of ask herself, what would be good for me to do for myself. You know, I do not need to right a wrong. I do not need to act as the go-between between, the, you know, explaining this person's point of view to that person, because that's going to take a lot of energy for me. They're not going to change their viewpoints. And, you know, you might, you know, they may never meet in, you know, somewhere in the middle. So I suppose really focusing on what you need out of the situation, and maybe you might need to take a step back.
Yeah, it's a tough one. And I think, as you said, a lot of people are in this situation. And I certainly know different people who are having completely different experiences.
Yeah.
During this time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's where, again, compassion comes in, because even if it's different to your viewpoint, theirs are still valid. Their fears are whatever it is. As long as, I think, as long as you're not harming anyone else, you know. And if you are, well, then that needs to be explored. But if you're not harming anyone else, you know, we need to be gentle with each other and not judge. God, it's feckin' hard enough than to be adding judgment or I know more than you, you know.
I know. But when we're in our fear mode, it is natural for us to get angry and to start judging. Do you know that's, and I'm not saying that that's necessarily an okay thing. We can check ourselves, but these are natural things. And I think social media probably just kind of, you know, it broadcasts it in such a big way that you can't take it back then either. Do you know, everyone has an opinion about everything, you know. So,
and it's an important one to recognize as well. When somebody lashes out, they're angry.
Yeah.
What's underneath anger? You just mentioned it. Fear. It's always fear.
There's always fear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And there's a hell of a lot of it at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay, another question. My husband is very down. He's no energy and he doesn't seem to want to do anything other than be at home. Is there anything I can do to help him?
Yeah, like I really felt for this woman, and I think, you know, the husband, you know, might be depressed. She obviously knows him well and she has seen a change in his mood and in his behavior. And I think, you know, we've been, I don't know what age they are. We've asked people to cocoon over the last few months and we've asked people to stay at home. So it's very hard. You know, suddenly, you know, now it's like, oh, but we can go out again, you know, but, you know, in a certain way. So I think for this woman, it might be handy. I don't know if she has done this already. She might be afraid, but to even just say to her husband what she's noticed, but in a very non kind of confrontational way, like, you know, I'm a little bit concerned about you. I've noticed that, you know, you seem a little bit, your energy seems a little bit lower. You don't seem to enjoy the things that you used to as much. And I'm wondering, are you okay? And I'm here for you. And I do think a visit to the GP would be a good idea. I always think the first port of call is the GP, who can, you know, if this man needs somebody to talk to, then, you know, there might be somebody in their local area that he could go to, or else, you know, obviously medication can help in certain ways, or else there might be something going on. He might need a full checkup to see is he low in any type of levels, you know, vitamin D or whatever, do you know? So I think it's important for her to maybe kind of, and
investigate.
I know it, investigate, but I know, but maybe not too many words, because I think when men are feeling low, they process it in a different way to women, where women sometimes, and I know I'm vastly generalizing, but women are more maybe into talking about stuff. You know, men might feel more kind of threatened if you go in there with that. So it's just about treading gently.
Yeah, because when you were saying that, I was instantly thinking of perhaps somebody getting defensive.
Mm.
If somebody says, even if they're being very gentle and mindful of their words, they may be met with a defensive, what are you saying? I'm fine.
Yeah. But she could also kind of, you know, be maybe, and she probably is focusing on making nice, healthy meals, maybe saying, I'm going for a walk now. Would you like to come? And just, you know, I suppose the compassion part really comes in there as well.
Mm. Yeah, the family dynamics, a lot of questions on that, but they're the kind of the two that really jumped out that I think say a lot. And I think we just all need to be mindful of our own words, myself included. I mean, I'm saying this and I like, even though you feel like, you know, you're empowered with a lot of the tools, we can fall into our own traps, because I remember that Ram Dass quote, you think you're enlightened. So you think you're enlightened to spend a week with your family. You know, families in the dynamic of family, doesn't matter how tight knit you are, how close you guys are. Nobody knows how to press your buttons more than family members. And in a time like this, when people have their own different experiences within a family unit, wow, that can cause even more friction.
Yeah.
So we all need to be mindful of that and be prepared to take a breath and a pause, mm-hmm. because a lot of us react, and I'm putting my hand up here, I'm quite a reactive person, mm. and I've tried to retrain myself to pause.
Yeah, and there's always repair after a rupture. If shit goes down and you feel like you could have
overstepped
acted in
the mark
a different
or whatever,
way, you
yeah.
can, it's repair, you know, you can repair it.
That's nice to be reminded of too.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, absolutely. We all lose our shit sometimes.
Yeah. Okay, another question here. I've recently moved back to Ireland. I've been previously diagnosed with depression and generalised anxiety. CBT has been recommended to me, but what's the best way to find a therapist here in Ireland?
Yeah, I suppose CBT is a kind of a therapy that's, you know, there's a lot of evidence based for helping people with depression and anxiety.
So it's cognitive behavioural therapy,
and it's the relationship between your thoughts, your feelings, your physical sensations and your behavior. So if you're anxious, for instance, you would have doom and gloom thoughts, you would have feeling of anxiety, your behavior would be that you'd probably be avoiding things or not doing things that are the best for you or most soothing. And then you'd have these physical sensations, real physical feelings of anxiety. There is a website called cbti.ie, which has a list of, you know, qualified, accredited people, therapists working in CBT all around Ireland.
Great. I'll yeah. add in, you know, different stuff we've mentioned between podcast episodes yeah. and that website. I'll add it into the show notes as well at the end so people can access it quickly. OK, another question. How do you know if you need a counsellor or a psychologist?
Mm. It's a hard one. You know, a counsellor, like a psychologist. So I'm a clinical psychologist. So like I would have done an undergrad in psychology for 4 years. I then did a master's for 2 years and then I did my clinical training for 3 years. So I have 10 years of training before I became a clinical psychologist. So like a counsellor would be more somebody who would be like more specialised in a particular area. Like you have an addiction counsellor who might have a few years of training in dealing with addiction, but they may not have learned all about child development and every other area of psychology, right? So they wouldn't have done an undergrad in psychology in a university. Their focus would be more on that particular situation. So it's hard to know how you know if you need a counsellor or psychologist. Psychologists usually would deal with more kind of moderate to severe issues. A counsellor might be more kind of milder issues. So it really depends on what issue you have. But I think it's really important to make sure, first of all, that the person is adequately qualified, whether you pick a counsellor or a psychologist, and also that you really click and connect with the person. You know, that's so important. Like I have a therapist I see, she's a psychotherapist and I've seen her for years. I can just text her anytime and say, I need a session next week. We had a couple of online during the crisis or during the lockdown, but I just feel this huge sense of warmth from her. I don't have to go into my story each time. I've been to loads of different therapists before, but for some reason she just, I don't know, it's like we just click. So it's about finding somebody you really just click with and make sure obviously that they're qualified, you know, in their area. But I don't think there's yes, a psychologist might have more background in psychology generally, and they might have done an undergrad and have more years of training. But that's not to say that going to a counsellor or somebody who's they call themselves a psychotherapist wouldn't give you a great deal of benefit as well.
And it's great to hear that, you know, despite your own qualifications, that you still go and talk to somebody. You still talk to somebody yourself. That's great.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. Totally. Usually it's when shit is going down and I just feel like and that's why it's really handy for me to be able to text her and she'd say, yeah, we can chat next week or whatever. And it's brilliant. It's just lovely to have.
And for people now who are listening going, that's what I need. And, you know, I may not be able to go into somebody's office and have a sit down session. We can do it on Zoom.
Yeah. I mean, when the whole lockdown and the COVID thing started, so many organizations kind of mobilized and got together like to first of all give psychological first aid, which is like a free therapy session where it's like a one-off therapy session. I know Lust for Life, you know, they liaise with Therapy Hub, I think, for it. But there's lots of organizations out there that you know, that were offering that. And I'm pretty sure that there's still quite a lot out there. Mightn't be free necessarily, that you might get one session for free. And then, you know, there is, if you have a medical card, you can go to your GP and get signed up for or get on the list for counselling in primary care. And then,
okay, great.
You know, so there are options, but I think
so even
GP,
just Google it, you might find something.
Google it, you know, yeah. There's, you know, you can Google it or you can ask your GP. Yourmentalhealth.ie has a list of support services, you know, Ireland wide, and it goes through the various issues and what might be relevant for you. So, or else go to your GP.
Okay, great.
Cool.
Right. A lot of questions on mindset. Staying positive or getting positive, being present, moment aware, all that kind of stuff. So how do I stay positive and see light at the end of the tunnel is a question here. Do you know what? I'll just read a few out, right? Because they're quite similar.
Yeah.
I've stopped listening to news, but any other tips on how to remain positive but also realistic? Advice on how to live day by day without a future plan and staying present. So, yeah, there's a lot of similar themes there, you know. So, yeah, first up on the whole positivity thing.
I'd like you to give your opinion there.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, as I said, I suppose, look, for me, it's we can't always be positive. It's not natural and normal. It's, you know, life is not always a bed of roses. And at times we need to accept that. Or maybe I'm just not in a great mood. And for whatever reason that is, I think it's important to acknowledge that. So I think acceptance is always the first step, isn't it?
Yeah.
Saying, how am I? Really, how am I? And asking yourself and checking in with yourself. You know, that's something that I do a lot. I check in. I say, how am I feeling now? Or you ask yourself those questions and you start to listen to what comes up. And the more in tune you get with yourself and the signals that your body is giving you.
Yeah.
Because there is that, for me, there's a massive link, and I know you're the same. You know, it is that link between our physical and our mental thoughts and how we feel in our heart and soul about something. And it's our body is constantly communicating with us. And the worst thing we can do, I think, if we're having a hard time is to not acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, you're not giving yourself space to be okay with that. And you're almost sending a signal to your brain that you're not okay with not being. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's, as you already said, it's okay to embrace that I'm not doing 100% now.
Yeah.
First up, I need to get okay with that. And then maybe perhaps I'm then going to be able to activate change.
Yeah. I mean, there is a kind of a paradoxical gift in pain, which is like, you know, that comes from the Eastern traditions and, you know, all about the idea that we all suffer and that, you know, the last few months, many of us have suffered and that suffering is part of life and that we can learn from pain as well. We don't, you know, you might have a moment where you just feel horrific, awful. You're like, oh my God, how can this ever get better? And then, you know, even grief when you feel like when you've lost. And, you know, you kind of it's just all consuming. And then maybe like a I don't know, an hour later, a few hours later, or somebody says something nice or you just do something nice for or whatever it is. And you feel that shit just a little bit less. You feel that pain just a little bit less. And it's like the light really comes through when you've been feeling such pain that when you feel less of it, the light comes in. Do you know what I mean? You know, so I think, you know, putting pressure on yourself. For me, you know, this question about how do I stay positive? I immediately feel pressure to be a certain way, you know, from that person.
Yeah.
And I think maybe to where, you know, I as a psychologist, I'd be saying to her, where do you feel this pressure? Why do you think you feel it to be positive? Where are you getting that message from? And kind of I'd be unpacking that a little bit more.
Yeah. And I mean, you've already spoken about it, the power of gratitude, and it's something I speak about as well. Even when you're feeling very negative or overwhelmed by something, there's always something that you can focus on in that very moment, even if it's something tiny that can shift the perspective. And I'm thinking of that amazing book, Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl's book.
Yeah.
And there's so many powerful messages in it where he, you know, his whole family perished in a concentration camp.
Yeah.
And it's all about, I suppose, the shift in perspective.
Yeah.
And we all can choose how we respond to something. Now, not everybody is a Viktor Frankl, and that's okay. But we can learn from people like him. and his teachings.
Another one is like Kelly McGonigal is a scientist in the US who talks about the science of stress. And basically what she says is when we're stressed, if we choose to view stress in a more positive way, then it'll have a less impact on our bodies. So actually, like there was a big research study and I remember like quoting it or helping Caroline Fornat with her book and talking to her about Kelly McGonigal, who she's since gone to interview, just about this idea of if you choose to view stress, if you choose to kind of welcome those butterflies in your stomach.
Excitement rather than stress, isn't it?
You know, and even Liz Gilbert was talking about, you know, rather than using the word I'm in quarantine, using the word I'm having a retreat. You know that
kind of way.
A retreat is kind of...
Yeah, because we are in one hell of a retreat.
Well, seriously, you know, because she was like, you don't have to go to India to like, you know, this is your retreat.
I'm so... I have to listen to that episode.
Yeah,
I'm so glad she said that because I've had that a few times as well where, you know, in the past I've gone on different retreats and I have been that soldier. I've gone to India. I've gone to an ashram, you know, you don't have to do that. And that's the thing I think for people, they think when it comes to the likes of meditation and stuff that you need to be, you know, dripping in Buddha beads and smell a patchouli and look a certain way and you'll be all zen. No, you don't need to do that at all. Like, that's not what it's about.
But that's the way you are today. Look at you.
Ah, hello.
She even shaved her head for the episode.
But it's so true, isn't it? It's that thing where you can do it anywhere. Actually, what is, you know, when you, if you ever kind of take yourself out of normal life and you go on a retreat or whatever, it's usually not a very pleasant experience. If you're delving deep into yourself, usually a lot of emotion comes up. Usually a lot of stuff comes up that you need to tackle. But not everybody wants to do that. Not everybody wants to examine themselves in that way. And I think maybe... for some people, they're particularly struggling right now because they've never had so much time to be with themselves to self-reflect. And self-reflection is hard work.
It really
is. Not always easy. And sometimes it's easier to just go along and just, you know, plod along and do the same old, same old, same old. But trust me, if you do really start to do it, if you've never done it before, you do have to kind of walk through the sludge. But it's so worth it on the other side. Mm. It's so worth it when you start to look at yourself in that way.
And I'd love even people to reflect on, like, we're 6 months down the road. You have survived up to now. So what tools have you used to survive?
Yeah, you've
Do you
got
know
here.
What I mean?
You've got here so far.
You know,
absolutely.
You're here. Yeah.
Love it. Okay. Loads of questions on that, but I think we've probably covered that pretty well. So this question is on loneliness and I just... Yeah. I have to say, I took a gulp when I read this myself. It's, I'm so lonely. I've never felt loneliness like this in my life. And what can I do to help myself?
Wow. Like, I mean, yeah, I listened to that voice note that you left me when I was driving today up here. And my God, I just really felt for this person.
Yeah.
And I felt like really... what courage that person had to reach out to you in that way and to say
Absolutely.
That, you know, to say that. I just really feel for you, whoever has written that in. And I'm sorry that you feel that way. You know, and I suppose all I can offer, you know, to you is that, you know, I suppose we're sending you a hug. And, you know, to help yourself, I hope that some of the stuff maybe that we've spoken about already can help. I think it's good that you've recognized even how you're feeling.
Yeah.
To, you know, I mean, I hope that maybe you've reached out now online. So maybe there's somebody else that you can reach out to that you trust. I'd be worried about you a little bit. And I really hope that maybe you can, you know, make it to your GP or just pick up the phone to somebody. Although I know that's really difficult to do. And, you know, well done on having the courage to actually say that.
Yeah.
I don't really have any answers, Sheila.
I know, but the honesty of that in itself is important too, just to acknowledge where they're at, because we don't know if this is male or female. We don't know the age of this person. We don't know whether they're living with somebody or totally on their own, because oftentimes we can be living with people. We can be sharing a bed with somebody
I know.
And feel utterly alone.
Yeah.
So there are many different manifestations of loneliness. You can be lonely simply by living fully on your own, but by being with other people as well and not being satisfied. But I suppose, again, is this an invitation to actually get to know yourself a bit better? Because oftentimes, and I can't say it about this person because that's not fair, but with a lot of us that, and I know in times when I felt disconnected from myself, you know, maybe I felt lonely or dissatisfied with my situation, it's because I wasn't really connected to myself.
And I think hope is something, like, I would be asking, if somebody came into my office and said this, I'd be like trying to figure out, do they have any hope for the future? And if they don't have hope for the future, then I would be, you know, I'd get on to a different level of support in terms of, can you keep yourself safe right now? Do you have thoughts of harming yourself? And I know that that's pretty serious, you know, based on just one question we've been asked. But I think hopelessness, you know, loneliness and hopelessness, if they go hand in hand, then, you know, the person will really, really need some help and quickly. If it's loneliness that you feel that, you know, you can still get up, you're still kind of getting up every day and doing what you need to be doing, then that might be a little bit less serious. And but that it's an opportunity for reflecting on why you might be feeling that way and what's going on in your life, you know, just to kind of differentiate between those. Also, I mean, the common humanity is, you know, that, and I don't want to discount how this person is feeling, but as you said, there's people who feel lonely even that are, you know, that are in a relationship, and then there's, you know, other people who don't have people living with them and can't, you know, let their...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Less people visiting them, or they're not able to go out, and you know that their loneliness, I think, seems to be a common enough thread in the world at the moment. Do you know what I mean? And yeah. I that's why whenever I hear about the loneliness task force in Ireland, and I just think like loneliness is huge, like a huge impact on your mental health, even on your just generally on your feel, on your well-being, generally speaking, because we are such social animals. But it's about kind of, you know, like it's about connecting with people that bring you kind of joy and bring you kind of make you feel like yourself, because sometimes you can, there are some people around you that mightn't do that for you and might make you feel more low, you know, mightn't make you feel good.
And connecting is what it's all about. This person did reach out. So that's a really good step.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Creativity is another one that came up a lot. So this is an interesting one. And it kind of took me by surprise. But when I thought about it myself, I realized that I'm feeling this too. Mm. I'm an artist and I haven't been able to create new pieces since March. I don't know when my creativity will come back. I'm trying to be creative in other ways, but I worry that my interest in art has gone completely. Would the psychologist recommend anything for me?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's not surprising that this person, this artist, is having difficulty creating, you can't create when you're in a fear state, first
yes,
of all.
Yes, that's it. So we need to feel safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know, you need to feel safe in order to explore your world, to create. Maybe this artist was used to creating for an event, you know, like they might have been putting art together and hoping then to exhibit their art, or they were doing art for somebody who wanted it. The demand mightn't be there, mightn't be as much there anymore. They, you know, all these events have been cancelled or they're happening online. So things have changed so much. So, and then they're in that kind of, you know, there might be that kind of increased fear again. But in that question, I see a kind of a, oh my God, my livelihood, what if my passion or my interest in art, what if it's gone completely? And I go back to what Liz Gilbert said about curiosity and maybe not putting yourself under this huge pressure to create something amazing. I think a lot of people felt, and I saw it even on Instagram and whatever, you know, like people who were like painting their houses or doing these amazing things during the lockdown. And you're like, Jesus, I'm just trying to survive and not shout at my kids today. Yeah, and maybe this person can, you know, maybe like I have a little notebook that I keep with me everywhere, because for me, I'm kind of like, when I hear something my child has or my children say or an idea pops into my head, I just write it down, because the notebook is completely banjax at this stage. But it's like, maybe this person, this artist who is an artist and who's, maybe they can even look at this, look at the pieces that they've done before, maybe kind of really take them in, take in the amazing, you know, art you've already created. And when a little idea pops into your head, a little bit of curiosity is flared by daily things, going out on a walk, whatever it is that you know, that spurs you on, maybe just to kind of record that in some way, and then maybe give yourself a break. And then when 2021 comes, hopefully by that stage, you know, you'll get back to what you were doing. We don't know yet, but, you know, just, I suppose, reduce the pressure on yourself, and also just acknowledge that you are an artist, and you, yes, this may change the way you do things, and this might add something, you know, but you are still a whole amazing person as you are. You know?
And that thing there of, you know, I worry that my interest in art has gone completely. That's the kind of catastrophizing, yeah, looking into the future. You know, if you've done it before, you'll do it again.
Yeah.
And the body is, you know, memory, muscle memory and all, yeah, that kind of stuff. And I love the fact you've spoken about writing, because that's something we haven't spoken about. And I'm a big believer in writing stuff down and the power of journaling. And it doesn't have to be any expensive notebook, can be just something small that you pick up anywhere, but writing down how you feel, getting it out, expressing it in one way or another, is so healthy as well.
Yeah, it really is. For some people, you know, just getting it out there, yeah, just putting it down on a page, like, you know, it could be the way you feel. Sometimes people, you know, decide that they're going to write about something, you know, like I really enjoy the process of, you know, being given, okay, you've 1,000 words, you have to write it on this particular thing, and I need a hook to get me going. And then and then it starts to flow and it feels really good. Sometimes it doesn't feel good, especially when I have a deadline or have to do something, but just doing it, just, you know, journaling can be a really, really useful way, even writing a few words down.
Yeah, exactly. Like writing down what you're thankful for.
Yeah, even in your notepad in your phone.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a piece of paper. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah. So words. Find what works for you.
Yeah, find what works for you. Yeah.
Okay, grief again. We've spoken about the collective grief, but also this is a very specific one. My dad died during lockdown and we weren't able to have a funeral for him. I'm struggling to accept that he's gone, and I feel like I'm frozen. I find it hard to cry or to talk about how I'm feeling.
I really, really feel for this person, and I just want to send them my condolences, as I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
And I think, first of all, losing your dad is really, really, like, it's terribly sad. And then not being given the opportunity to have the closure and the funeral that you would have wanted for your dad. I think it's, I can understand why this person feels frozen in their grief, because in their minds they thought like, if I suppose nothing can prepare you for the loss of a parent or somebody that you absolutely love. And in your head you might feel like, well, we didn't have the funeral where, you know, people could say their goodbyes, or the kind of the wake the night before, or the nice stories. People missed out on, you know, playing music together and telling, lovely stories and memories about people that they loved. And
that's all part of the grieving process. It helps, doesn't it?
It does, to kind of move it in a particular, but like, it does still hit you like a ton of bricks sometimes without, you know, like they say that it's like a waves of grief, but absolutely not being able to have those kind of closures and not being able to have maybe as much support from people calling into you, or having the month's mind, or having those rituals that are really important for people. And then maybe people are less likely to contact you now because, you know, I think people are really uncomfortable around death and around grief and around talking about it. And, you know, they might have this expectation, are you okay now? And they just don't know what to say. And I think it's enough to say to somebody, it's really hard. I feel for you. And even for this person to kind of acknowledge themselves that it's okay to feel frozen as they are right now, and that it's really hard that they weren't, that they've lost their dad, and that they weren't able to have the funeral that they were hoping for. And to give yourself some, you know, just to give yourself some kindness around that, you know. And I find it hard to cry or talk about how I'm feeling, and that's okay too. And whatever it is that might be easier for you to, if there's somebody you might feel comfortable with, that, like, although if you're not in that mode of crying or talking about how you feel right now, that's okay too. Like, the body has an incredible way of grieving and going through things when it's ready to. So this person mightn't be in an okay state to actually start the process just yet, because they're in limbo about about, you know, COVID and restrictions and their lives and everything. So this might be the way the grief is going to happen. There's going to be a frozenness, but then when you're able to take it emotionally, it might start to seep out a little bit more. But maybe taking little gentle steps to, you know, connect with somebody that you love, or or maybe to talk to a counselor or something like that, you know, to kind of get that kind of starting to move a little bit. But it mightn't even be talking to cancer. It could be like doing a yoga class online.
Yeah.
And connecting in, as you said, just with your body, like with, not just with your body, with your body, and kind of connecting with how you're feeling inside. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah. If somebody is connecting with this as a topic, my second episode is with Miriam and Jerry Hussey.
Yeah.
And we talk about grief. So it might be worth them checking that one out, because what I really liked, the way he spoke and the way you're speaking about it now, is like, there is no timeline on grief.
No.
So your own experience of it is valid. It's your own. So, you know, don't be expecting to be in a certain phase at a certain time, because that's not how it goes.
Yeah.
It's however it goes.
And your podcast with Kathy Stritch, I listened to that the other day.
She's incredible,
isn't
she?
Oh my God. I was just, that is a really, really powerful podcast. And, you know, it just makes you feel so human and normal. And I was incredulous, to be honest. I was like, you know, my mouth was just like, I was on the Stillorgan dual carriageway going, oh my God, you know. I was just absolutely captivated, by her
incredible.
Conversation together. And it kind of just shows how even through the roughest times, the toughest times in your life, that there can be a little bit of light. And light does enter in the wounded place, as Rumi would say.
Yes.
You know, the light does enter there. It does. There's no doubt about it. Like, I remember I lost my dog, and I know people would think, you lost your dog, what's the big deal? But it was horrific. On my birthday 2 years ago, I gave her a piece of meat and she choked. It was awful. And I just remember like being in like such shock for like days. And the pain was really, really like huge. But in the weeks afterwards, it was like talking to other people. Suddenly I was surrounded by people who'd lost animals and who were kind of, you know, and there was just something so beautiful about connecting with people about these similar experiences that we were going through that I never would have had. It was almost like the weirdest thing. So sometimes it's like, there's so much more to us, I think. You know, even like, I do believe in angels, and I do believe there's something more out there. I don't know, like, spirituality can be really, really important, and it might be God for you, might be Buddha, it might be angels, it might be, you know, just a belief that there's something more. And I think, you know, when you're dealing with grief or just finding what it is that can give,
because comfort.
Yeah, and meaning is the last stage that has been added on to Kubler-Ross's stages of grief. Mm. And like finding meaning, but that is something that it takes an awful long time probably to get to that point where you can kind of make sense. And finding meaning doesn't mean that you're happy that it happened at all. It's more like, you know, coming to an acceptance that this has happened and maybe, you know, trying to kind of see how you can incorporate that into your life in some way, although you would never have wished for that to happen. And I think many of us are going through grief, whether it be for somebody who's died or for our lives that we, you know, for starting college for the first time and meeting people in the bar, or for our jobs that we can't do, or there's many of us out there, you know, the rites of passage for the sixth class and not doing your leaving cert, your junior cert, all these situations. And again, that is grief. That is grief. Yeah. You know, there's like a universal feeling of grief out there. And I'm not trying to be like all depressing or anything, but there really is, you know, there really is. So, but there is also a universal kindness out there and a universal kind of, we're all in this together. I do feel that. And I think that's when you can tap into the spiritual a little bit more.
Mm. I've just loved what you've just said there. I think that you're going to give a lot of comfort to people. I'm feeling it listening to you. So, yeah, thank you for that. Another question that is a grief as well is, I'm a bride-to-be and we've had to change our plans. I feel like I'm cursed as so much has gone wrong for us this year. Our mortgage application was rejected and our wedding was cancelled. I'm so upset over it and it's affecting our relationship. Mm. Oh, like, God love her.
Yeah. What are you thinking?
Well, I feel for her so much because that's an absolute balls of a situation. I mean, two huge things having gone awry. And am I helping by saying that? No, mm-hmm. No, but it's important to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
And she's within her rights to be upset over it. But the bit that concerns me is how it's affecting them.
Yeah.
That would worry me because they had no control over their wedding being cancelled. And for whatever reason, their mortgage application didn't go ahead. It's probably very much to do with the now as well. You know, it's easier to stand on the outside and say, guys, yeah, you need to be unified now, not be pulling apart than pulling together, blah, blah. But that's just the bit that I would worry about.
Yeah. And I guess for us to accept, I mean, you know, you're with your partner because he's different to you and he offers you things that are, yeah, you know, that bring you something different. I mean, I came home last night and I was just, you know, just had a small little row with my daughter because she thought we could go to the shop and get whatever she wanted. But then I decided what they were going to have because it was healthier and she was really angry at me. And I came home and I was just like, you know, feeling like I've done all this stuff for you and I'm organizing your communion at the weekend and you're annoyed with me now. And then I was like annoyed coming in. I was like saying to my husband, can you shower her because she need, you know, anyway, it's just like, but actually he didn't do anything. He just sat there and just kind of rode the wave of Mally coming in going blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and like literally within 10 minutes I had showered her. I got their snacks ready. And I had calmed down, but he hadn't done anything. But I was really annoyed with him because I was just like, you should get up now because I'm angry and I'm cold and I'm this and I'm that, you know. And it's like, that's the beauty sometimes of, like, not every relationship. Like, we choose people in our lives that are different to us. So for this girl, she's so upset and it's affecting their relationship. I think it's probably because she has the expectation that he would feel the same as her. So
expectation, you know, is such a huge one, isn't it?
Yeah, she's probably like, come on, you know, be upset that our wedding was cancelled. Maybe she's thinking, like, maybe he's not that into this wedding. Maybe it didn't mean as much to him. But like, guys, you know, weddings usually are a thing that girls get themselves more into. It's not to say that the man, he's more about maybe the marriage and, you know, what happens afterwards. And very often girls from experience can be like more about the day and the wedding and the people coming and the dress.
And watching Say Yes to the Dress, how many years after you get married?
Look, that's my potion. But like, you know, so it's her expectations probably. And so I would say, go and talk to like-minded people maybe about how you feel and get your comfort from your girlfriends or from whoever you get your comfort from, and maybe to kind of drop the expectations about him, you know, kind of feeling in the same way. He's probably more kind of problem focused. He might be saying, well, sure, when all this crisis ends, we'll be able to get married and we can apply for the mortgage again. And he's probably being more practical about it. And she wants him to feel as she's feeling, which is fair enough, because she's feeling a lot of upset over it. And it's OK for her to feel like that. But maybe talk to maybe a more like-minded person, and then maybe somebody in the middle, a friend that's in the middle who can maybe kind of help you to make sense of how your fiancé is feeling, because you're still engaged and, you know, hopefully the wedding will happen. And I'm very much hoping you will get your mortgage application, that this is a blip. So everything is relative to you. And that's what I'm saying. And it's OK to feel fed up, you know?
Yeah. I think the expectation thing, though, is massive. And I'm glad you brought it up. And it's a trap that, despite my study of not having expectation, and one of my favorite books that I drone on about all the time are The Four Agreements.
All right, tell me about that.
Oh, it's amazing. It's basically four guidelines to live a good life. But basically, expectation comes up a lot.
Yeah.
You know, expect nothing, basically. Yeah. And
it's so hard, though.
It's huge.
Right?
Yeah. It's huge in relationships. And as I said, it's something that I fall into that trap quite a lot. Mm. And I feel like I should, and every time I do, and I fall into the hole and go, I'm here again. Have I not learned the lesson? Do you know what I mean? And
but that's why context is so important. Your experience of life is different to somebody else's. Like, even looking at this cup, you're seeing that side of it. I'm seeing this side of it. And even though we're sitting here together, we have different.
So we're looking at a cup on the table.
Cup on the table. And we have different experiences of this. Well, if we have different experiences of just looking at a cup, can you imagine how, like, yesterday when I came home, I was like feeling really angry and irritable. And my experience was, you know, I just feel like I've done everything today. I've been working all day, and then I had to like go out and do this, and you've no idea, and I'm cold, and now my, you know, Jess is annoyed with me, and you should be, you know, this, you know. And it's like, it just took a little while. He just knew it would blow over, to just kind of calm it again, you know, because our feelings almost sometimes dictate how we think they do. Mm. And then suddenly we have this feeling of expectation. You should be doing that. The second you hear should, I mean, we all do it, though.
And
you know, that's okay.
Yeah.
But just being aware of it, you know.
Yes. Okay. We've covered so much during this conversation. And I suppose bringing it back to the main points is, you know, it's whatever you're feeling is okay, and the importance of letting go and surrendering to the mentalness of the now. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
We're in a crazy time. It's very weird.
Mm.
It's very weird. And it's okay to feel like this is weird. There are times when I watch the news and I think, wait a second, I just walk into some weird alternative universe here?
I know.
And it is like stuff out of a movie script.
Even the stuff that's going on with Trump and all that, you know what I mean? Yeah. You're kind of like, are you serious?
Is this real life?
Yeah.
So let's pull it back to basics, and wherever you're at on the scale of experience of COVID, recognize that whether you're having an okay time of it or a terrible time of it, that's okay. But the first step is acknowledging it. And voicing that and reaching out as well, and not being on your own within it, because you're not on your own. None of us are on our own in this.
Yeah.
There's somebody, if you're feeling it, somebody else is feeling it too.
Yeah. And then showing yourself the kindness towards it, towards yourself, because that will really like improve your well-being. It really does. Like, there is actual scientific evidence to say that if you're kind to yourself, if you're kind to other people, that will, you know, decrease your anxiety levels, you know, decrease your stress, give you an overall sense of well-being, and just really kind of it make you live longer as well. It helps your immune system, which I know came up in your episode with Luke O'Neill. Do you know? So it is. And if you have difficulty doing that, then maybe you need to look at why that's difficult for you.
And we keep talking about it. It's never been more important to look after ourselves. And we are not just our physical form. We're also all the other things we've mentioned. They're all intertwined. So if your thoughts about you and the situation we're in are toxic, unfortunately, what we see is that will have an impact on how your body responds as well. So be aware of that.
Mm.
and control what we can control and let go of the stuff we can't.
Yeah.
And I've learned the hard way, you know, having been through illness myself, that, and I don't know what the future holds, whether something could happen to me again. I don't know. But what I do know now is it's important that we look after ourselves, and it's not a selfish act. It is the most important thing you can do, because when you're okay, then you're in a position to be able to perhaps reach out and help someone else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I just want to thank you so much for inviting me to do this. And I've just loved listening to all your podcasts. Honestly, guys, just please just listen to them, because just the way you ask questions, the way you come into the conversation, I just think it's from the time that I met you, I just knew you were, it should be called Ready to Be Real, because it's totally real. And I just really appreciate it and want to thank you.
Oh, well, you know, I feel the same. It's funny, I was talking about you to Damien, and you know, you've been talking about it. And I think the thread that's been running through this conversation is intuition. And you displayed, number one, your compassion, but also your intuition with me the time we met. So just to put it into context for those listening, we met in a tent in Galway on a very rainy day.
In the pissing rain. Oh my God, my shoes were destroyed. I parked in a field and I couldn't get out. I had to be hauled out by a tractor. I wasn't very glamorous that day, I tell you.
So we were at a wellness festival run by the amazing, we've already mentioned them, Miriam and Jerry Hussey, Soul Space in Galway. And we were on stage. It was a panel discussion on the topic of miscarriage. So Miriam was facilitating.
She was pregnant
and none of us knew.
I know,
So I was there. You sat beside me. Helena Tuberty, the fertility coach, was there, who's also incredible, who will be on a podcast coming up over the next few weeks as well. And Claire Grady, the nutritionist, who's also featured on the podcast. Yeah. So actually, in a few weeks' time, all of us that were on stage that day will have featured on this one. But there was something very special that happened that day. There was a real sense of connection between all of us. But I remember when I was sharing my own story, and I felt it and I was getting emotional. You reached out and you grabbed my hand. And I remember telling Damien, and I was saying, I just instantly felt this grounding, anchoring, safe. I was like, OK, it's that thing you have. You have that mama energy. And I mean this very sincerely. I felt so safe in that second. Like, oh, it's OK. So I could still be vulnerable and be myself, but you were sending me a very clear message of you're okay. And that meant a lot to me. So I'm so glad that we finally made this conversation happen.
Yeah, me
and
too.
I think I'm a big believer in divine timing. So I think the now was the time to have this. So thank you for sharing what you're about and your expertise with us. And I know you're going to help a lot of people that listen to this episode. Thank you.
I hope so. Thank you so much.
Well, I hope you found the content of this podcast helpful. And if you want to get in touch with Mally, you'll find her on Instagram at Mally Coyne. You can go to her website, drmallycoyne.ie, and her wonderful book, Love In, Love Out, A Compassionate Approach to Parenting Your Anxious Child, is also available to buy right now. Before I wrap up, I want to take a moment to allow myself to be vulnerable and ask for your support. So when you give a podcast a follow, a subscribe, give it a rating or leave a little comment, whatever it is, it really does help to promote it and increase the chances of others to hear about it, which of course in turn means a huge amount to the podcaster. So if you can spare a minute right now, even just a few seconds, to do any one of those things, I would be so grateful. And if you've already done it, and I know a lot of you have, it really means the world to me.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.